Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Nathan. I am one of the pastors here at the River, and thank you so much for spending your Christmas Eve with us. Like many of you, last week I got a Christmas card, and I opened it up and I was looking at it, and it was one of those classic nativity scenes. You know, the one where everybody is glowing, and the hay looks like it's professionally stylized, and cows are all smiling and everything. And I looked at it and I was like, that is such an Instagram-worthy nativity. But it wasn't quite like that back then. And it really made me think of Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7 say this. Though Jesus was God, he didn't think of his equality with God as something that he had to cling to. No, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. And he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And so I went to work the next day, and I just couldn't stop thinking about these verses. And the word that kept coming up to me was downgrade. Because like most of us, we spend our lives trying to get upgrades. I want to upgrade to the faster phone. I'm excited because I get to upgrade to the better seat on the plane. When I go to Chipotle, I want to upgrade the burrito with like a side of guac. But Jesus did the opposite. He did the most radical downgrade in history. I mean, if you think about it, Jesus has equality with God. He doesn't just have privilege. He has divine privilege. He exists in a place with no pain, no mess, where he is worshiped as the king and creator of everything. And then Jesus is like, no. I'm actually going to give all of this up. All the glory, all the perfection, all the praise. I'm going to go down and I'm going to experience pain. I'm going to wrestle with suffering. I'm going to take on a fragile human body that can bleed and be killed. And then he takes it a step further. He doesn't just come floating down from heaven as God with like trumpets and an angelic choir live streaming the thing across the world, which would be probably how I'd do it. No, God does, again, the opposite. He comes down as a helpless, defenseless baby. Think about how humiliating that is. That God himself is born in a cave and placed in a Oh, it's gone now. The manger was there just like half a second ago. Pretend like there was a manger there. And placed in a manger. The King of Kings needed his diaper changed. And it makes you ask, why? Why would Jesus give up all of that? Well, 2 Corinthians has the answer, where it says, we know of the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because though he was infinitely rich, for our sakes, he became poor, so that by his poverty, we could be made rich. So we ask that question, why does Jesus give up being the ruler of all to become a servant to man? He did it for our sakes, that Jesus became humanly poor so that we could become spiritually rich. And again, I have no problem saying this is hard for us to process, that God is choosing to be poor, which is the exact opposite of the American dream. I mean, we're a bunch of nobodies, and we're trying to be out here making a name for ourselves. Jesus has the name above all names, and he leaves it to become a nobody. I mean, a lot of us, I mean, I personally think I'm being super sacrificial when I'm tipping 25%, or I let somebody in front of me in that long line of traffic. But the idea of sacrificing everything that we have worked for so hard, and sacrificing it willingly, it is just like tough to imagine. And yet that's exactly what God did. God didn't just send us like a text or a gift card. He showed up in person. Isaiah 7. Look, the virgin is going to conceive a child. She will give birth to this son, and she will call him Emmanuel, which, as we learned in the play, means God is with us. He did it all to be with us. And through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, he gave us something. Ephesians 2:8 says it. He gave us salvation. That God saved us by his grace when we believed, which means we don't get to take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Jesus came to give us a gift, which, I mean, you know, it's very appropriate for Christmas that we would get a gift from God. But there is a catch to God's gift. And it's not like a bait and switch catch that we would kind of hear in society. It's more of like a common sense catch. So I was trying to think of this, and so imagine it this way. Imagine tomorrow morning, Christmas morning, you wake up and you have an amazing gift under your tree. So let's just say it's like a brand new espresso maker that also pays your taxes and makes sure there's never any traffic on the way to work. Like, this is beyond an incredible gift. But instead of opening the gift, you just kind of leave it there. And a few days after Christmas, you take that gift and you put it like up at the top of your closet. And you don't really think about it until the next Christmas rolls around. And then you get that box back out and you set it right on the table. And you put like a little festive hat and maybe some garland around it. And you look and you go, hey, everybody, look. Check out that gift. Isn't it really cool? Like, I'm so glad somebody got it for me. And at this point, your family's like, are you going to open that? Like, wouldn't it be better if you used it? And you're like, not really. I just like the idea of the gift. I'm good with the box sitting there. And the thing is, that sounds a bit silly, but that's how a lot of people treat Jesus. We celebrate the box once a year. We sing some songs. We look at a nativity. We say, check out the cool thing God did. But the gift isn't just a decoration. The only catch with the gift God gives us is that you have to accept it. You have to open it. You have to use it. You see, Jesus gave up heaven, and he gave up his life so that each of us could have this gift. So I hope this year is a year that you don't just celebrate that the gift exists, but that you open that gift and experience the life that God has for you. So as I close, the question that I have for each of you today is, would you consider opening that gift this Christmas and letting God be with you? Let's pray. God, thank you for giving it all up. The equality with God, the divine privilege. And you did it all for us. Thank you for your life, for your death on the cross, and for your resurrection 3 days later. Thank you for the gift that you offer each and every person. It is a gift of grace, a gift of forgiveness, a gift of a new life and a new relationship with you. We are so grateful that you are not a distant God, but that you are Emmanuel. You are a God who is with us. And God, for anyone here today who feels ready, I pray that this would be the moment that they open your gift and begin a new life with you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you decided to accept God's gift today, man, congratulations. Man, please come talk to me or any of the staff. You're going to see them lighting candles here in a second after the service. We would love to celebrate that with you. But now, we're going to conclude our time together by doing something Christians have done for generations on Christmas Eve. We're going to be lighting the candles. And we do this because Christmas is about a light coming into this world. And when Jesus was born, the world didn't suddenly become perfect. I'd say it didn't even become easy. But it did become brighter. And if you'll start noticing, light changes the feel of a dark room. Our staff, they lit their candles from the Advent candle, which represents Jesus, the light of the world. And that light will now be shared from person to person to person until the whole room begins to glow. And here's what you're going to notice. The light doesn't get weaker as it's shared. It grows. And it reminds us that the hope of Christmas was never meant to stay in one place. It's meant to be passed from person to person with each person we meet. So as that light is given to you, as Christ's light is given to you, receive it with gratitude. And when you're ready, we'd ask you to pass that light on to others. And once everyone has their candle lit, we'll sing Silent Night together.